This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
All right.
All right. So we all have experienced meditators here, I guess. But like always, we start from the beginning, or start from somewhere at least. Check your mind states. Where are you at right now? Important to realize that we have all these different mind states. That we don't have to take any of them too serious. Sometimes it's a still photo of Rachel. Okay. sometimes we can obviously take them very serious when we're in a negative mind state for a while. And then it seems that it's always the case. We don't realize this is very strongly connected to our thought process in our minds. Feeling coming up with the thought process, and then the thoughts feeding those feelings again. So the beautiful technique of meditation is that we cut through that thought process, or trying to cut through this process for a limited amount of time. For half an hour we usually do it here in the Amadel group, and that gives us some important insights. First, the insight that it is not so easy to stop this thought process. It's something that we associate with ourselves. These thoughts are basically not under our control. We tell thoughts to be quiet for half an hour, and after a few seconds, something pops up already again. So that is a beautiful realization in itself, because it teaches us a little bit of the nature of the mind already. That something that we take for granted and for ourselves the whole time is something that there's just a limited amount of control over it. The same as with the body, I can lift my arm and I can talk to you in a hopefully relatively coherent fashion. But something goes wrong with the body, or if I have a stomach ache right now, or I'm especially tired, have a headache, my concentration would lack, I would wobble around in my seat because I might have to go to the toilet or whatever. So there's another limitation coming with the body, obviously. Always important to see that as well. If you have pain in your body, the meditation for you is going to be more difficult. Luckily, you're sitting now at home. I hope you all have found in your home a seat where you can sit as comfortable as possible, that we don't have to pay that much awareness to if something goes wrong with the body. That you have a position there where you're that comfortable that even if you fall asleep, nothing would happen. And obviously, if you manage to have as little pain as possible in that body. Because the first step that we have to do to get even a little bit more aware of what is happening when the thought process slows down a little bit is we come back towards the body, towards the feelings and the feelings in the body. So that can be a little bit unpleasant if you have a body that causes you a lot of pain. Then that first step can be a step that makes it, that gives that association in the mind, oh, meditation is connected to pain, because you just become more aware of what is happening in the body, and the mind focuses more of the strongest sensation in the body. And if that is pain in your case, then that's real trouble. So always try to make it as comfortable as you can, and the rest we have to endure. That's just the way it is. So, and then if we hopefully manage to slow down the thought process a little bit, it gives us this new field of vision. Gives us this distance, this distance from this thought process. And if we look around in the world and in our own mind, we see that this troubles, most of these troubles are because of thoughts and views in the mind. The wars, the religious wars, the political wars, everything that is going on is just thoughts manifesting in the mind through something that people hear, believe, and then their worldview is bent in that direction. And then everything is perceived through that worldview. And that's how the mind works. If we have a different religion, then everything I say is from the devil or whatnot. Because I'm a Buddhist, I don't believe in God, so I'm of the devil automatically for some people. And it doesn't even matter if they know me or not. Just being associated with Buddhism is good enough for some people to condemn me already. Or because I have a bald head, I'm a Nazi. Or because I wear glasses, I'm an intellectual. And all this little prejudice and this memories, that associations that we have from somewhere, something that we have heard from the past and have crept into our awareness and into our mind. These things, they make what we consider reality. And meditation is challenging that. This having this little bit of distance towards the thought process can give us the space to see this is just part of this construction, from the time we learn from our parents and our siblings, our friends, through our socialization, up to the present moment. All the information that is just received and interpreted and reinforced with feelings again. And to question that can be a great relief, and to find that space, this space that exists, this existence that exists there without thoughts. And when people go crazy, it's because of thoughts, it's not because of feelings. When people are depressed, it's because of thoughts, it's not because of feelings. The feelings just associated are, oh, this is unpleasant, oh, I don't want to go there. This is what makes the feeling in itself unpleasant, and that is a very important thing to realize as well, and a great gift of meditation, that when people have the courage to just look at the feeling that comes up with fear or associated depression or anxiety, whatever, and just sit, have this moment to sit back and have a look. How does it feel? And nothing more, no judgment there. Just how does that feel right now? And that is the moment of great surprises. This is where depressive thoughts actually become distance from what is happening there. That's when anxiety thoughts, there's a big gap between that anxiety and the one experiencing what is associated with anxiety normally. So that is a beautiful thing in the meditation for the mental health process, getting that opportunity of stepping back from the thought process. But it has to be done in a kind way. If we make the thoughts an outside entity or an enemy, then it just becomes very unpleasant and just becomes another voice in our mind that can put us down, make us crazy, make us anxious. So the whole exercise is always to start on that level of being a friend of yourself. We don't want to challenge anything, and we don't want to fight anybody. The whole thing is, if the mind realizes what leads to more suffering, the mind draws automatically away from that. That is the nature of the mind. It's always the blindness, our blindness and our stupidity. It doesn't see actually, oh, this is leading to more suffering. This is just sorts of anxiety. Where do they go? Are they leading to peace? Are they leading to harmony? Are they leading to my happiness, to other people's happiness? And we just follow that train of thought and have a good look and see, no, it's just conflict there, it's just more fear there. And so there's that learning curve where we can be earlier and earlier, be aware of what is happening in the mind. And then we go there a few more times and we remind ourselves, and after a while the mind, when it goes in that direction, something comes up and already, oh no, I know that already, that is not leading anywhere. And then the mind withdraws. So we don't need any force there, because the nature of the mind is to seek happiness and to avoid unpleasantness. And that can never be changed. The Buddha couldn't change that. And tried all the other methods of torturing himself and being harsh with himself. But the breakthroughs he had when the mind was very happy and open, very bright, open and non-judgmental, that's when he had the breakthroughs. So please always remember that in your meditation, and when if you put yourself down or you get impatient with what is happening, that is how the mind is right now. Don't add something to that. Don't add that it's a failure or I can't or whatever. That's just another That's just what we call a puncture, the proliferation of that negativity. And can come that point, okay, that's it right now. There's a negative mind, I allow you to be negative. You want to think so much right now, mind, that's okay as well. So we don't force it, we encourage it, we make it interested if we can in the meditation, just giving it a little bit of that taste of quietness. And if it gets a little bit of that taste and a little bit of that space, then there is the carrot in front of us already. We might not be able to always get the carrot, but that's then again because we want something already. So the fundamental step is always watch your mind state when you start your meditation. Be kind, like Ajahn Brahm said, and be gentle. And if you can't, actually, then be kind and gentle with that. Don't add negativity. And I mean, at home, you have it pleasant and sometimes when we sit in a group, it's a little bit more forced. But you can do obviously whatever you want now at home. Make your still picture there and have a bottle of beer or whatever you're doing. I have no interest and no control over you and interest in controlling you. You just, I hope you enjoy as good as you can, but if you have to get up or whatnot, don't worry about it. We meditate for half an hour, then I ring the bell, and then we stop the formal part of the meditation. And I'm gonna lead you a little bit into the meditation, go through the first few steps, might take a few minutes, and then I maybe even mute myself for that time that you don't hear my breathing. I don't know how loud the microphone is or whatnot. Yeah. But if I make noise, I don't disturb anybody. So it's, yeah. So please sit as comfortable as you can. And remember, if it's a position where you know you don't have to move your body for that half an hour, that you know your body is in a position where nothing is gonna go wrong with it. There's not gonna be any damage to that body if you sit like that. Obviously, if there's pain coming up, change your position, do whatever you want, but it's always a very nice starting point. If you know, I know my body well enough that I know I can sit like that for half an hour and nothing is gonna happen with the body. That's the first kindness I do in that meditation. And then we can go through the body one time, and usually I do it from the soles of the feet upwards. And I have no idea if you're lying down or the way you're sitting, but you can still do it. Just relaxing your body from your feet upwards. And we start with the feet. For me, it's checking the distance of my legs on the chair, and then I wriggle my toes a little bit, and then I tighten my muscles a little bit, and then I let go. And you can experiment a little bit with the method. I find it helpful sometimes when you tighten the particular part of the body with an in-breath, and then on your out-breath, you relax the muscles. So I'm going up my legs now, my knees at the right distance, and the angle of my feet are still changing a little bit. up through my hips. And then I have enough space to breathe. My belt is not too tight. So I do one deep in-breath and check. And bulge my belly out a bit. Breathe out, so that feels comfortable. So now we go upwards. Chest and shoulders. And shoulders hold often a lot of tension. So a nice method I find personally is to take a deep in-breath. Clench your shoulders up, clench your back up. Out-breath and let everything drop. And depending on your position, if you can breathe naturally in, if you can breathe in and pump yourself up a little bit and feel there's no restriction there, then in a sitting position, usually the angle of the head comes into a very nice position all by itself already, when the shoulders are relaxed. And you can always go back in your meditation, obviously, go another time through if you feel still tensions, clenching up, letting go. And then the same around the mouth. I'm still talking, so I can only partially do it now. If you feel tension around the mouth, smile, give it a bright smile, and then let the smile go slowly. Can be forced, doesn't have to be a natural smile, just having it upwards. Creating a little bit of the feeling of the smile already for the meditation, a little bit of that kindness. And relax. And then up to the eyes, the eyelids, just rest gently. And the forehead. We don't want to challenge anything. Just interested in what is happening when the mind slows down, when the thought process slows down a bit. And we can encourage the mind that is nothing important in this half hour now. Nothing that happened in the past is important. Nothing that is going to happen is important. It's just being present with this sensation of the body, with the noises that come in your environment, smells coming, different sensations in different parts of the body. And then as an anchor, if the mind looks for something to rest or to settle itself, we have the breath, in the background. So don't need to force it, don't make it any different than it wants to be. If the body wants to breathe deep, we breathe deep. If it wants to breathe shallow, we let it breathe shallow. But the breath is always there for us. The body is just doing the job. Breath is connected to our primitive part of the brain, so we can sleep, get unconscious. The breath is going on, no? Until our last breath is gonna go on. The body doesn't need us for that. And that is just this nice awareness that we don't have to manipulate. No? If we manipulate because we're watching it, and that can happen, it's no problem, but we don't have to. It's just going to be there for us. So, can we settle with that, with this thought that anything that happened in the past loses all value just for this half hour? All that's gonna happen after this half hour is not our concern. It's gonna be taken care of when we come out of the meditation. Every interesting thought is not really that interesting right now. Because what is interesting is what is happening when there are not many thoughts in the mind, when the thoughts come to a standstill. And we maybe find something peaceful and beautiful in that feeling realm, a little bit of kindness, or just the breath going in and out. Doesn't have to be anything special. We don't have to wait for anything. And just being with that experience of the freedom of not having to figure anything out, not having to construct anything in the mind, not having to review anything. And just seeing thoughts coming in. And if we don't get interested, they just go away again. This kind disinterest and the kind interest in that whole feeling experience, having a body sitting or lying. And not having to control, open to whatever is happening. No judgment, just this kind watcher. So it's just a few minutes left. Have a look. Does the mind feel calmer? Or is there agitation or frustration now? And then we can have this look of investigation. More agitation. We wanted something. Something was wanted and we didn't get it. Or something was not wanted and we got it. Same as with frustration. There's a little bit of calmness, but it's sort of more in the realm of what we associate with boredom. And there's a little bit of kindness and energy, this interest, kind interest. Is lacking a little bit. And sometimes we can nudge it a little bit. I just said that is good. Good. Where we're right here. Great. How deep can we look into that? If it's boredom, wow, how does it feel? What is that really? So we always have that opportunity at the end to investigate a little bit deeper often, because we don't have so many confused thoughts running through our mind. So I'm going to ring the bell 3 times and then we can end the meditation for tonight. Hello. Aha, they're all coming back. All right. So, what's on? You have questions, or do I have to ramble on and on?
I think ramble on, and you're wonderful at doing that. Thank you.
Are the other ones all muted? Well, but actually I can also create the talk around what people are interested in, you know. I don't know where people are at and what their troubles are. I'm so far removed from your worldly troubles.
Well, that's true. Right. Just talk about anything that is of interest to you.
Okay.
In terms of worldly troubles.
No, I got into trouble with that in Victoria already. That was my most political talk, and I got some stone. No, I keep away from politics now.
So you could talk to us about managing stress and anxiety, as there's still quite a lot around in the community and within us.
Hmm.
Not just COVID related, but just generally.
Yeah, there always is. I mean, Australia is a depressed country. 50% are on antidepressants. I think I heard a new number with women. Around 70% of all women are on some form of antidepressants. That is not in the news. And everybody is so miserable, basically, you know. It's just absolutely amazing. That's completely normal now. Completely a normal mind state that you have to be on some sort of medication to get by. And astounding. Huh? Always the prosperity we live in on one side. I mean, we're living better than the kings could imagine actually a few hundred years ago. Luxury food and clothing, warmth, and I mean, all the technical gadgets and whatnot. And on the other hand, we're more miserable than ever before. And discrepancy between the two is just completely fascinating, isn't it? So it has really nothing to do with this wealth that we have through the experience through the five senses. In the olden days, people could always hope that something better might come up, or they could hope for something better for their children. Religion was stronger, I guess. So maybe the hope that at least when they die, they go to a better place. And now I don't think that's for most people so much in the foreground anymore. So what they basically have is they have a job if they're lucky, they have their family if they're lucky. And maybe then their family falls apart. If they're unlucky, they lose their job. If they're unlucky, and the whole world was just sitting on this few pillars, huh? On this, and one of these pillars crumbles, and then the whole personality view crumbles very quickly as well. So obviously, the best solution is to make your own mind your own refuge. And the starting point is treating yourself nicely, treating yourself, making sure when you think about yourself, you think in a friendly way. That doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes and we're not open to criticism, or because we're so great and perfect. It just means we're willing to learn. Huh? Is this, and if we make mistakes, that's just because we haven't seen that one clearly. But if we see it clearly, then we don't make that mistake so often anymore, and less, and the clearer we see things, that's just the way it is. And I think this friendliness towards themselves is often lacking in people, huh? And have a very aggressive way of thinking in their own minds. Just only they think the only way they learn something or they can improve is by being harsh to themselves. And really, see what an idiot you are. And that's absolutely not necessary, because, like I said before, the meditation is the every creature in the universe is looking for happiness and trying to avoid unhappiness. That is an absolute must. I mentioned that before. If you put an electrode into a droplet of water and you have this one cell beings in there actually with their little rudder, they're going to flap their rudder as good as they can to get away from that electrical current. That's how much they want to avoid suffering and want to go to something happier. With every conscious of being, with some sort of awareness through some sort of senses, that's the problem we're in. Want to get away from suffering and want to go towards happiness. So there is absolute no need to be harsh to ourselves, because I mean we always get enough of the stuff that we don't want, and only some of the stuff that we do want. But if the mind realizes that direction, there is more suffering. Huh? The same as when the mind realizes when we become, I don't know, 4, 5. If we stick our finger in the candle flame, it's not going to be fun. It's just going to hurt. Huh? And then we have learned that and we don't do that again. Huh? We make other mistakes. But if the mind sees clearly, wow, there's hurt in that direction, and can pull away. But funnily, we don't see that. We produce a lot of hurt in our own minds, huh? a lot of harshness, a lot of putting ourselves down, and we think we are achieving good results with that. Well, that we push the mind in a direction where it's going to be more clever. But in reality, we're just adding an artificial reality in our own mind of a very harsh, criticizing father or mother figure in the background that is basically slapping us when we're doing something wrong, or we think we're doing something wrong. And some of us know maybe some childhood memories, how unpleasant that can be if you have somebody in the background that you fear. And the worst thing is if we fear ourselves in the background, isn't it? If we cannot trust our own kindness in the background, that we wish the best for ourselves. With that awareness, the better I feel, the better vibes I can send to everybody else out there. If I feel comfortable already and peaceful in my mind, I can deal with difficult people, difficult situation in a much more in a way that creates less conflict, that creates less trouble for myself and other people. So if I manage to improve my own well-being, it has a good effect for other people. And I just say that because people sometimes think it's not worthwhile or it's selfish or something like that. But we all know that when we are in a good mood, people like to be with us, because we're just more pleasant to be around. It's very hard to be with depressed people, because they take themselves very important in that moment. It just everything feels very important, what is happening to them. And so they obviously they are a bigger burden than for other people, and people trying to avoid them. And so we get into these vicious cycles, actually. We're getting down, and we feel more and more alone. And the more down we are, the more alone we feel, and the more alone we are as well, because people draw away. It's just so natural, because everybody tries to go towards happiness and avoid suffering. We just don't have, we have a limited inclination to go towards things that appear difficult and unpleasant. So it's definitely worthwhile from the standpoint of if I manage to get my mind a little bit happier, it's not only good for myself, you do that for other people as well. So there is a universal kindness in there as well at the same time. You don't have to worry that you're just getting to going to be an egomaniac or a narcissist or whatever. It's the opposite. The happier the mind is in itself, the less you need from the outside world. The less I need from the outside world, actually, the more open I am to that what is actually approaching me. And the less weight I put on all that is around me as well at the same time. So it's a worthwhile goal, but I just say that because to avoid this point that people think they're just gonna be selfish. And obviously it has to go in a way where our happiness is not built on the shoulders of other people. It's this internal happiness I'm talking about through meditation, but also to viewing our thought processes, to see, oh, the mind, are you going into a negative direction again? I'm not worth anything. Why should I get up? Oh, another day. Oh, everything is going to end. I'm going to die. Why should I brush my teeth? I'm going to fall out anyway. Blah, 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 blah. And this being in a down position or being in a depressed position is a continuous stream of thought. And the more we become aware of that, and we follow it, and we look, we don't try to suppress it. We look, and it's just like, oh yeah, why should I get up? No reason. See where the thoughts are going. And then we can watch and know, okay, I know that stream of thought. This is a stream of thought that basically prevents me from getting out of bed, from not brushing my teeth, from pulling the cover over my head. And how happy did that action ever make me? Follow that. Does it not feel better? Just stopping that thing in its tracks, getting up and brushing your teeth. And then if the mind realizes there are certain actions sometimes necessary, certain conditions that we have to set for ourselves to bring that little bit of more light and happiness into our own mind, just this almost a resolution that I just try to be as kind as I can to myself from now on. If I don't manage, that doesn't matter, because that kindness can always be brought back in every second. I can just lose it momentarily, but I'm gonna get it back. And it's worth getting that back, because the better I treat myself, the better I treat other people. And I don't mean treat yourself by overeating or drinking or anything. It's basically this. If you find you're thinking unkind thoughts, it's just be aware, oh yeah, unkind thoughts, I don't need to think like that. That is not the way to make progress. To be my friend in my mind, that is making progress. That gives me a chance of some calmness, of some clarity. And then obviously you have possibilities wherever you are to watch something that inspires you. And sometimes when the mind is too depressed, we just have to do something. We just have to get out of it. Just have to get out of the house, or you just have to do some action and not spend too many thoughts around it. Just doing something and getting out of the really dark corners. But the meditation in the end, just getting this little bit of distance between thought process, feeling, seeing the interconnectedness between the two. That is, a depressive state is having these dark glasses on, but this dark glasses seem to be absolute reality. So it's important when these dark glasses are gone for a short while to see, oh, different reality. So what is reality? This dark glasses reality, or when the pink glasses are on and I'm in love, is that reality? Or the dull glasses when I just numbed myself with some drug or whatnot? And I'm just not talking about prescription drugs here. I'm talking about the other little helpers in the cabinets, the liquors and the, I don't know what people take. So this getting an idea that this reality, how it is defined in the moment, is not reality. It's always just a possibility. There are people out there who don't see the world that way. So what reality is worth creating in my own mind? What can we even define as reality? And if some people offer you some reality and it just completely feels like another burden on your shoulders, don't take it. Thank you so much. Enough of that already. Heavy enough already. But if you find this moments of little bit of stillness in your mind, and you get a little bit of this feeling, wow, how beautiful that is. This moments where you don't have to control anything, where nobody is there judging anybody or yourself. Is such a friendliness behind that already. And sometimes it's just for short moments, but it's so important to make that very, very conscious in your own mind, to remember that. Because that is the nourishment you're going to have and the perspective you're going to have when the mind goes into darker places again. And to figuring this out, that the mind is basically just drifting on these curves and up and down and up and down. And just because we're always buying into it, it's always me and it's always so real, the whole thing. That is where a lot of the suffering is. And then we try with all these mighty thoughts to control that stuff again. But as meditators, we know thoughts just have only that there is no one behind who is really pushing the buttons, and we think what we want and we think when we want and whatnot. It's basically a process in itself, the thoughts. There's only a limited amount of influence that we call wisdom, where the mind sees this is more suffering, this is downwards. This is thoughts that are leading upwards. They are thoughts, they are kindness, there's nothing to fear there. I can trust them, and they get a feeling to it. They get a trustworthiness to it. And then if we do that for some time, we also develop a trustworthiness into our own kindness, and that we mean well for ourselves. And if we mean well for ourselves, we mean well for a lot of others as well. Not for everybody, because we are living in this world with difficulties and difficult people and whatnot. But on that level of meditation, kindness, huh? It's almost like there is this reality that we can develop in our meditation here with whether they are weak or strong, emitting none the great or the mighty, medium, short or small. That is the loving kindness that we can spread. But how close is that to our reality often? When that guy annoys us and we hate that person and we, I don't know how much irritation comes up in your daily life. In my life, it's still enough. It's often quite far away, actually, the seen and the unseen, actually, when you have a tick on your leg and the mosquito is biting you and the horse flies on your neck. That is sometimes can seem very removed, actually, but that reality that we can have in the meditation when we sit comfortable, we're just looking towards that direction where that is even a possibility. That possibility that, for example, we don't have enemies. That is a possibility that we might can achieve in our lives. I have, for example, the trust in myself. I don't wish anybody anything bad for a very long time. That is enough for me. I don't have to be the super nice one, and I don't have to be loved by everybody. It's that awareness in my own mind that I don't wish anybody anything bad for a long time is such a beautiful safeguard from the really low realms, the realms of cheating and ill will and beatings and murder and I don't know what. And that is the level of the precepts already, the five precepts. That wholesomeness of the mind is in that realm of the five precepts where we try at least not to harm people. It might still happen. I mean, we still harm insects or whatnot because we find them too annoying. But on the meditation level, we try to go towards that direction where there is that non-judgmental thing, because once we see that we don't have to defend the body anymore, if we go in our meditation anywhere close to that feeling where we lose this body image, there is nothing to defend anymore. There is just the mind. And the mind has this developed that this beauty of this guilelessness, this harmlessness, that it can trust itself. And if we don't have that, we cannot get very far in our meditation. If otherwise we get all the five hindrances up permanently, especially then doubt and remorse is coming up. So we use this the five precepts as a base level in the world to keep us safe. And in the meditation, we go a little bit further, like with the loving kindness meditation, even if it's not our day-to-day mind state, where we spread our goodwill towards every living creature in the universe. In the meditation, we can go that little bit further, and that can open us up that little bit further as well, because it's not a concentration and a closing down. It's an opening up. It's letting go, things falling away. And if they can't fall away, it's because there's something holding on. And so this kind investigation in the meditation, this kind investigation just a few times during your day, just maybe more and more often, bringing the mind, where am I at here? What sort of mind state is that right now? how, when I continue in that mind state, is that leading in a good direction or is that leading into a dark direction? And that is when we can pat ourselves on the shoulder. That is where the mind sees, oh, okay, I know that that one is leading to more aggression, actually. This one is leading to more depression. And then the mind sees it, doesn't need anybody to admonish it, doesn't need a slap in the face. It wants happiness and tries to avoid suffering, but kicks itself in the face all the time by making it worse by just unskillful thoughts that don't help anybody. Huh? I mean, in 2 billion years, the sun is probably going to envelop the earth. It's going to be a red giant. So don't build another house. It's going to be gone. So, I mean, in a depressed state, this is just, it's all worth nothing or whatnot. It's all going to fall apart and it's all going to die. But we have to live with this mind day by day by day, hour by hour, second by second. What hell, for what reason are we willing to create there for us? And what good is that going to do anybody? Huh? So that we can have awareness of impermanence, and that can be beautiful. Huh? When we get angry and we just put that in contrast of I could die any minute. Huh? Death is sitting on my shoulder. What if I die in that mind state now? And that's just like, wow. And then sometimes anger can fade away. It's just like, well, how unimportant that business was. In the moment of death, of awareness of death, it just becomes absolutely nothing. That is impermanence used beautifully. If I use impermanence constantly, oh, I'm going to die, I don't want to die in pain, and if this happens, and if I get cancer, and oh, there's a tickle in my throat, maybe something is wrong again, and all that stuff, that proliferation of something that hasn't happened. Suffering, just another reality of suffering we're creating in our own mind. And if we don't go to the doctor and check it out, what good is it going to do us? Huh? It's just going to worry us more. Or we make the action and go to the doctor because there might be something wrong and something can be done. But this source that just revolve around itself with no consequences but to drag us down in this maelstrom of negativity and speculation. If we win clarity through our meditation to see that faster and faster, that is the best thing for the mind to go into a more healthy direction. The faster we see it, the kinder we deal with it, the faster we're going to go into a lighter direction. Well, it's going to take time. Huh? Building up negative mind states took time. Getting out of this negativity and always questioning it again, actually seeing where the mind states are going, investigating, having that courage to see where it's leading. Where the mind is going there, is leading slowly out of it. Huh? There is sadly no miracle cure I can offer. Just hopefully more awareness and that big shout of remembrance in the background of be your best friend yourself, be in your thoughts, treat yourself kindly, treat your mistakes kindly, see what went wrong, but this criticizer, that harsh one in the background, that might be something that you take on with you from your childhood or whatnot, and please let them fade away. Let the shouters and the beaters fade away in the background, and don't carry them around with you anymore. just train to have that mind that likes to learn, and likes to go into a wholesome direction, but knows that only something that is attractive and kind is even worth looking at. Harshness and the shouters out, we have so many of them, you know, the screamers out there, and the religious fanatics and the crazy politicians, and they're all so loud, always so loud, and they always have to speak so loud, and that is like a warning flag for me. Somebody has to speak so loud, it's usually that they don't have any confidence in what they're saying. Sort of, they just have to make sure other people are hearing them, because otherwise they don't feel alive enough in themselves, or what, not evaluated enough. It's just this, and the people screaming in that way, they also scream in their own heads like that. And I just find that very unpleasant, personally. I mean, it's up to every individual, him or herself, how they treat themselves. But you don't have to treat yourself as shit. You can treat yourself nicely. There might be these patterns might come up from old stuff, and you treat yourself badly again. But I hope I also gave you a reminder today that that is not necessary, and you can treat yourself beautifully and go into a more wholesome direction, and this reality is gonna look a little bit better than it looked yesterday. And a little bit better, and then it looks really shitty again. And then the next day it might look a little bit better again. And it's this curve. But we're lifting, it's a sinus curve, you know. If you know this electricity, and this is going to this middle, what I'm supposed to call it, that level in the middle, and the sinus curve is going up and down, and we're lifting up the whole level. So the sinus curve is going higher up and lower down, and that is what right thought, meditation, a little bit of wisdom, and that kindness in your mind can do, lifting this level slowly, slowly up. And then the downs are not so down anymore, and the higher ups, actually in your meditation, there's room then for things happening in your meditation, where it gets really peaceful, and we're just astounded that there was so much happiness available in our own minds. And we're just too busy, too blind to see that, too busy creating some sort of weird reality in our own heads. So I offer that to you. If you have any questions, comments, now is the time.
Thank you.